please introduce yourself and what you do?
Yeah, my name is Francis Gill. I'm the fire chief for the Coppico Lake Volunteer Fire Department, which is the next lake up above Iron Gate here. It's one of the dams that's slated to be removed. Mm.
So what's the fire situation like here in the county?
This time of year, it's always extremely dangerous. Luckily, the weather and time has allowed the firefighters to wrap up most of the large fires in the county, but we had two really devastating ones again this year. The McKinney Fire, which was downriver, which destroyed a lot of homes and businesses in the Klamath River area and further downriver into the Scott River area. And then we also just had the Mill Fire in Weed that destroyed several neighborhoods in the Weed area and Lake Shastina area, lost several homes, and thousands of people were evacuated again this year.
So when a fire like that breaks out, how do you fight it? Like, where do you get the water to fight the fire?
Well, in this area in particular, in Siskiyou County, the terrain is typically so steep everywhere that most fires are fought from the air with helicopters and large fixed-wing tankers. The helicopters get all their water from lakes and rivers in the area, and whenever there's a fire in this area, Iron Gate Lake and Coppico Lake are definitely two of the most utilized lakes, even to fight fire in Oregon sometimes over the border. And then the large fixed-wing tankers usually have air bases at airports nearby, or sometimes, you know, they fly in from further distances.
Mm. So maybe for somebody who's never seen this kind of thing play out, is it the case that the helicopter has a rope attached to it, with like a giant bucket essentially, and they come out to the lake and fill it up? Is that how it works?
So that is one type of helicopter, firefighting helicopter. They have a large bucket underneath that just dips in the water and it fills up, and they can usually hold between 600 and 2,000 gallons in those types of bags. They also have the larger helicopters like Ericsson Sky Cranes and the larger Sikorskis that have a large snorkel that extends from the belly of the plane, and they actually have a pump that will draw water up into the tanks, and they hold much larger capacities, 2,000 to 5,000 gallons sometimes, possibly more. I'm not sure about the real big ones because they're bringing out all kinds of new larger helicopters for firefighting simply because they need so much more water on these fires.
What would happen to your firefighting capabilities if, let's say, this dam was broken?
So for us specifically in this part of the county, we rely heavily on these lakes for aircraft as well as our fire engines and our water trucks, our water tankers. Mm-hmm. The lakes provide easy access for the ground vehicles to draw water from the lake. It's called drafting, and it allows real easy access because of the shoreline. If the dam was gone and the river was drained back down to a channel, there would be no road access to the river except for maybe very select areas downriver. But the silt and the mud and the terrain, just the steepness of the terrain in this part of the river would prohibit us from getting any vehicles down to the river. So therefore, the plan is, if the lakes come out, to supplement our water usage with portable tanks that would be staged along the hillsides around the area. And so we would be going from easy access to 45 billion gallons of water stored behind these two lakes, to they're proposing between 25,000 and 50,000 gallons of stored water for our use at strategic locations that may not even be accessible in relation to the fire.
Well, what do you think will happen in that case? Because that's a dramatic increase from several billions to just several tens of thousands.
Well, as you can see, we live in a very dry area as it is, and the drought in California has consistently over the last 5 years made the fuels drier, and the fires burn hotter and the fires burn faster. And so without this, they will get bigger. They will destroy more homes. They will end more lives. They will displace more people. And they will burn longer and hotter throughout the seasons. There won't be the ability to put them out. It's hard enough now as it is, because other than these two lakes being full all the time, almost all the other lakes and rivers in the county are either low or empty, which has already restricted the ability to get water depending on the geographic location of the fire. So it's a very rare water source in the county.
We were at one rancher's home earlier today, and they were telling us how the government regulations are such that they're not even able to fill up several ponds on their properties that they said were actually used in cases of fire. Are you finding that that's already happening? That's already kind of inhibiting your ability to fight fires?
In this area, there are a lot of ponds that have much drier than they used to be, especially on the way to Wairika and stuff. I notice a lot of the stock ponds that used to be full are just empty now. So yeah, every water source that dries up is a much bigger challenge to find water. I mean, even during the Klamathon fire, the water system in Hornbrook burned in the fire and the whole town was without water. So they had no hydrants, no access to the river because everything was on fire. So Iron Gate Lake was used extensively in that fire. In one day, helicopters alone removed more than 1 million gallons of water out of this lake to put onto that fire. So you can see 1 million gallons is a lot more even than 25 to 50,000 gallons that we may have available post dam destruction.
Well, let me ask you this question then. Let's say hypothetically that fire didn't happen this year, right? It happened, let's say, 2 years from now when this lake is no longer here because the dam is no longer here. How would you have fought that fire?
So the lake provides a very natural fire barrier, to whereas down further on the river, the fire can easily jump the river due to the winds and the blowing debris and embers and stuff. So right now, when we have the fire on one side of the lake, we know we can at least maintain the attack on that side of the lake without having to worry about the other side. We are also very low on volunteer firefighters, and fire crews in general are spread so thin throughout the state that if we had to try to attack something on both sides of the canyon at the same time, we would never be able to get a hold of either side of the canyon.
What about not even the idea of jumping? You said 1 million gallons, so I mean, if you didn't have that million readily accessible, what would you have done?
So it would be reduced more towards an air attack with helicopters, which would need to find specific deep enough pools in the river channel to be able to draw out of. It would eliminate the possibility of fixed-wing aircraft, which occasionally do use these lakes to come down and skim the surface of the lake to scoop up water, and there's enough room for them to get in on an approach and climb back out safely. So that would be completely eliminated. So it would move it all to large air tankers, and ground attacks for us would be mainly trying to do structure protection where we can, just to try to save as many homes as possible. And the wildland is going to burn.
You know, I've talked to a couple of people who have told me that one of the reasons that there's an increase in wildfires is because these environmentalist groups, they sort of tie up local officials in lawsuits using endangered species or other reasons, so they can't do things like backburn or other, you know, preventative measures against wildfires. Is that the case? Are you seeing that?
It depends on whether it's privately owned land or whether it's part of the National Forest or the BLM. They have different rules depending on who's managing the land. There are a lot of places in the National Forest you absolutely cannot backburn or even use motorized equipment, chainsaws, generators, pumps, etc. So it's all being hand fought or air attack. And it really just depends. On private property, I think you have a little bit more leeway to be able to do some backburns, especially if the property owner approves of it. But it just depends who's managing the land. We have National Forest, BLM, and private property all intermixed in this area.
So last question, you actually live on a lake, right?
Correct.
Behind the dam. What do you anticipate happening to your area if that dam is broken?
Well, among other things, an increase in fire danger, an increase in toxic dust blowing up from the bottom of the lake as it dries and before it is able to grow in with vegetation. We have a risk of, absolutely, it will happen, a reduction in our property values, which already suffer specifically because of this dam removal issue. Our property values have struggled, whereas the rest of California has continued to bounce back after the 2008 crash. We're still way behind on values up here. There are slope stability issues. As you can see, there are some steep cliffs along the lake, and on Copco as well, there's a lot of diatomaceous earth that is affected by erosion just from wind and waves, but the lake holds those cliffs back now, and when the lake is gone, those cliffs will be free to just cave off of the hillsides, which there's quite a few houses there that would definitely be affected by slope stability issues. as well as our wells. Almost all of our houses up there are on their own individual wells or small community water systems that, you know, serve several homes in the area. The lake, the water infiltration from the lake into the aquifer provides water to a lot of those wells, and a lot of those wells are fairly shallow, and when the lake is gone, there's almost a certainty that some wells will dry up or need to be drilled deeper just to provide drinking water for residences.
Not to mention irrigation water for farmers.
Correct. I mean, the lake, we don't really have much farming other than there is a cattle ranch up the river that irrigates from the river, and that would definitely be affected if they have a lot of acres of irrigated land up there that would be affected by not being able to do that, which means no more cattle, no more wildlife that has learned to live off of that water source and those meadows and pastures.
Francis, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.